Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. We're looking ahead to the next Jaguars game with Brian Sexton and former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, and Mark Brunel. Sponsored by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
Welcome to Jaguars Thursday from Pennyhill Park Resort in Bagshot, England, outside London. Brian Sexton, and of course you know Tony Baselli and Jeff Loggeman. We're here without Mark Brunel tonight. Actually, it's daytime. We shouldn't lie to people. We're taping this at, what time is it?
Well, before it's going to air, because it's like way before New York time.
Exactly. Well, it's 3:43 in Jacksonville as we go on the air here this morning, and the Jaguars are just filing into their meeting room. Your impressions of a couple of days outside London and how the team has moved logistically and how you think it's all gone?
You know, I was talking to one of the coaches on the way up here, and I said, how's the week been? He says, normal week. He says, and he took his hat off to all the all the logistics people, the film guys, Mike Perkins and his staff, Jimmy Luck and his staff. I mean, everybody who makes this go. He says it's been seamless, and which is hats off to those guys. Hats off to the people behind the scenes that make they actually work harder than anybody else to make a trip like this reality.
Well, because they've got people poking at them all the time. I need this. I need that.
And Homs is the bearded one. Is the one that's really kind of pulled it all together.
Yeah.
You know, so I give him a lot of credit. And this is the first year that he's ever been kind of the advanced travel guy. I mean, what an undertaking for him. But I mean, the equipment guys. It's you always can tell who the busiest people are on trips like this, because when you're on the bus and you're going to and from somewhere, whether it be to a plane or to a new location, is to see who's sleeping the most. And the equipment guys, the poor equipment guys who've had to deal with, you know, landing here and getting everything set up so that immediately the next day things are going without a hitch. I mean, Jimmy Luck and the equipment staff, I mean, kudos to them.
Well, it's clear they've been working on this for many, many months, because they shipped a lot of this stuff over via, you know, ocean, you know, over the ships, and brought a lot of this stuff over and laid all this out. And a lot of these plans, they don't come together in a week
month. And hey, look, this is, you know, I think a lot of players have really kind of embraced it and really enjoyed the time here. You know, when we got here earlier in the week, they had the day that we landed, that was a day off for the players. And a lot of the players were like, you know, hey, look, I'm tired. I didn't sleep on a plane. But, hey, we're in London. How many times do you get to go to London? And so they all kind of took off and went to the city. Now, none of them stayed up late or anything like that. But they wanted to enjoy the sights and the sounds. You know, and I've enjoyed it, too. I just haven't quite gotten figured out, you know, as far as the driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Baselli asked me as we were walking over here this morning, have you learned British yet? Speaking English?
You know, I'm having a really hard time understanding the accent. And I'll bet you it's the same way with me.
No, the best part about it is Brian and I were walking up off the plane at Gatwick, going to the bus, and one of the flight attendants was walking behind us, and her comment to us was, I sure love your guys' accents.
So like, what?
We don't have an accent.
Exactly.
Ma'am. You have the accent. She goes, oh, no, you have an accent. I love this American accent.
The place that the team is staying at, Pennyhill Park, I mean, it is outstanding.
Nice place.
It is really nice. It's
nice
open.
That we can visit here.
I knew that was coming.
It's open. It's airy. I mean, it looks historic, even, and I don't know how old it is, you know. But I mean, it has such a picturesque setting, park-like. It is truly a special place to stay at, and everything is here. The cool thing is for the team is that they have the entire hotel.
Resort,
whatever you want to
call
it. And then on the outside of it where
that's what you want.
Food.
You want a massage, don't you?
Adjoining food to the facility here, they actually have a small field, I guess you could say.
Rugby pitch is what the sign says.
Yeah, and it's probably not the perfect scenario. You probably would like to have it a little bit bigger. I mean, this team, the Jaguars and most NFL teams, are used to practicing on two or three different full size fields, but it's enough to get by. And they actually came in and brought Tent City. They brought in two tents. One tent is actually the locker room, and then the other tent is a weight room. And they're right there built in the parking lot to where this field is at. And so it's
a
great setup.
You don't think that there will be any jet lag, any travel hangover, any...
No, I think there's going to be some issues, yeah.
Well, well, I don't think. Okay. Not by the time you get there.
But there's enough day. I mean, I'm talking, when I say issues, I'm talking issues Wednesday, today. And I think Friday, Saturday, I think the players will truly recover. and then be fine.
Be ready
to go. It's always harder to go east than it is to go west. Going west for me was always easy. You get to go to bed a little bit earlier.
Right.
Right? And then you get maybe a little extra sleep because you gain time. When you go east, you're losing time. You know, and then plus on Saturday night, you get the daylight savings here in London. So you get another extra hour bonus sleep, right? So, you know, that's good. It's all good.
You know, and the reality is I don't think the jet lag is going to be an issue, and I think it's been seamless this week. But I do think there will be some distractions when they go into London because you're looking – you have a fan fest, and you have all kinds of issues because you're going in Friday or changing hotels. I think maybe that's the biggest danger of any distractions. But – I'll say this. The way they've handled it so far is perfect. I was talking to Hamza, who Jeff noticed kind of put this whole thing together. He started working on this in March and flew over here and looked at the different sites because as the home team, Jacksonville got to pick first what hotel and practice facility they use, and he chose this. He was telling me mainly because of the practice field that this was the best practice facilities, which says something because it's not ideal even with that.
And so, look, people can go Google it. See, we're about 30 miles from where the hotel is. We're south and west of the city, out in the countryside. And when you get here in this resort, I mean, it's you have no sense that you're anywhere but just a nice resort. You don't even know you're in England.
No.
Unless you look at where the cars are and where they're driving on what side of the road.
Yeah, as we walked up, I recognized
that. Oh, yeah, because cars were coming at us.
I had some questions. You know, everybody, of course, you know, texting. And thank goodness that we can get, you know, the internet via the Wi-Fi on our phones and text still, you know. But they're getting all these texts. Well, how is it? I'm like, I saw London one night so far. It was at night, and we got there in a rainstorm.
Right.
And
so
left in a rainstorm.
You couldn't see anything.
It went to Nike Town. Could have been anywhere.
Turn around and go back. And what we've seen here, I mean, I would compare this to Tennessee, Virginia. Is that about right?
Yeah, suburban Boston because of the homes.
Yeah, the homes are like that, but the countryside is like Virginia,
Tennessee,
Rolling Hills.
Joe's thinking outside Philadelphia, Downingtown, that area out there too. So
it's, you know, the cool thing is just looking at a lot of the different architecture because, I mean, how old are some of these buildings here? I mean, they are really old.
Wait till we get to London. I've been to London before, and you go see some of the age of those buildings.
Yeah.
And you go to the Westminster Abbey. Some of the historical sites.
And we're impressed when we go to Philadelphia in D.C.
Philadelphia's
going to be the architecture that was, you know, brought from this area over to those places.
That's a baby city.
And we see marble-type buildings, and we're like, you know, wow, that's really cool. And then you come over here, and you're like, oh, that's how they used to do it all the time here. You know, so
it's amazing.
It's pretty neat.
Looking forward to getting into London, though. It'll be fun.
Well, you're looking forward to finding an Indian restaurant and eating. I mean, let's be honest. You're ready for some of that.
I'm going to eat. There's no doubt. We ate good last night, though, didn't we?
Well, there is a big difference in food here. Big difference in food.
Well, I haven't seen what the players are eating. Have they brought food in?
I snuck in. It's not bad.
But does it have a hint of home to it?
Trust me, I got a chance to see what the players are eating. Tony, you saw it.
Yeah.
It looks great.
Good. Yeah.
It looks great. But, you know, I think they have a special menu, you know, whereas one of the biggest things that I heard prior to coming over here, they were like, hey, man, the food ain't so good when you get over there to the London area. And it's been okay.
I thought we had a great meal last night.
We had a great meal last night.
At the Windmill Pub in Windshire.
We had a great meal last
night. I was good with it last night. Lunch, not so much, but dinner was good.
But it's different, though. I mean, it is definitely different over here in London area. I mean, the food is not – put it this way. We got it made where we are. Our bathrooms are better. Our hotels are better.
He's talking about the United States.
Our food is better.
Oh, U.S., yeah.
Yes.
Shelly thought you were talking about the hotel.
We were staying at.
No.
I'm like, what are you talking about, bro?
Brimley Hall.
Well, I say it every time, and I was telling Brian this because being fortunate enough to travel a bunch and go to different places, every time I go somewhere – as I'm coming home, I go, I can't. I'm glad I live in the United States of America.
I'm serious.
I love America.
I'm not the world traveler. I've been, you know, to Mexico, Berlin, Amsterdam, Canada. Does Canada count?
Nah.
I mean, kind of. It's leaving the United States. Right?
I'll say this: anytime I leave, I'm so happy to come home.
Amen.
I love you. United States of America. God bless America. Let's start singing songs.
Right. Bring it all out. You know, we might as well finish this segment before we take our first commercial break. You know, just with any thoughts on England as a long-term destination, Obviously, the Jaguars are here three more years.
That's a full segment.
Let's talk about that next.
Because that will take some time. I mean, that is a great debate.
Well, the talk is now that they're going to announce, and they may even have do it between the time that we tape this show and that it airs tonight in Jacksonville, that they are going to announce the Jaguars' opponent next year.
And the rumors is the Cowboys.
Well, and you know, when the Jaguars first announced they were going to play over here, that I was told immediately that was who it would be, because the league wants to get the Cowboys to London. It is a premier opponent. Now the Jaguars do have the right to say yes or no, because those are the Jaguars' games. But that's something that makes sense because the Cowboys are the Cowboys. Although the Cowboys next year, $31 million over the cap, ain't going
to
be the Cowboys.
The biggest question mark to me is not who the Jaguars' opponent will be in the home game over here. Is will there be the Oakland Raiders?
The away game.
As the away game here.
That's been rumored too.
Because, I mean, if you're...
just stay back-to-back weeks.
Absolutely. And I think that'd be great. You know, if you're going to do
here?
It... If you're going to do it, do it.
Do you think it would be back-to-back weeks, or do you think they'd do you early September and late October?
I don't think they'd ask you to make two trips. I think you'd be back-to-back weeks.
Do it back-to-back. I mean, if you're going to do it, just do it back-to-back, you know?
But I don't know if you go for 2 weeks then. I think you come maybe midweek and almost – because, you know, a lot of the teams, I mean
– we'll come over Thursday.
New England came over Friday last year.
Yeah.
And, I mean, teams – so did the Giants left a Thursday, got here a Friday. Everyone has done it a little
bit
different.
Here's the most important question, though, The New England you said came over?
I think New England got here Saturday morning or Friday morning.
It's a little shorter flight for them.
Here's the first question that everybody that's thinking about coming over. Did they win?
They did.
And that may be the secret.
But here's the problem. They're playing the Buccaneers.
They had time.
They could have flown over the red eye Saturday night, got off the plane, and went to Wembley and won that game.
Tom Brady probably had a whole lot to do
with the
outcome of that one. All right, folks. We'll take a break and return to Penny Hill Park in suburban London for more of Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Welcome back to Jaguars Thursday from Penny Hill Park outside London. Brian Sexton, Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman. We're giving Mark the night off, since he couldn't be with us anyway.
Well, he had a big loss last week. You know, he needs the time to recover.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
I would. I don't mind bringing it up.
There was a victory. There was a big victory last week.
Homecoming
Providence.
Providence.
We rolled.
Took it to them.
We did. I will say this.
They were competitive.
They were. They controlled the ball. 11 of the first 12 minutes of the game, our offense was on the sidelines.
I think that if they had better coaching, they probably would have done better.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
With
Mark.
That,
I'm
I will say
that. Sorry, Mark.
I was going to say the opposite. I was trying to be nice. It was a good game, though. They played well.
All right, so
well coached team.
And I said I was going to be there.
Yeah,
and he no-showed.
I got crunched for time to pack to this trip.
Right.
And I was just going sitting there trying to figure. I said, where am I going to find time to pack? You know, because we had a little family thing going on over the weekend, and then, you know, Monday, TV, boom, you're gone.
Right.
And I said, I just can't do it. I mean,
you're way more organized than me. I packed at 1:30 in the morning on Sunday night.
Well, you're wearing the same clothes you got off the plane in, so it looks like it fits.
Yeah, you didn't pack much.
These are free.
Yeah, right.
You see the difference here? When your name's on the stadium, you get these nice Jaguar suits, you know. And
hey, I think you can get. You just have to ask.
Me? I get all of the old gym shorts. And
the old logo stuff?
Yeah, the old gray tights, you know, that we used to wear and think they were cool.
Yeah.
Now
you know,
baggies in.
Yeah.
The funny thing is,
they gave me the old gift bag of all the old stuff from '95.
It's embarrassing if you look back what we wore. I'm like, man, we were.
Did you ever wear the Zubaz stuff?
No, even when that was in, I knew that wasn't cool.
Oh, come on now.
I did not. I give you my word. Even when it was in, I'm like, I'm not wearing that.
I wore them, but I didn't wear the ones that had all the funky colors.
Right.
You know, I like the ones that were just single colors and kind of like PJs.
Yeah.
But when I first came into the league a little bit before Tony, the football fashion was the high and tight shorts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you still had coaches that were wearing the bike coaching shorts
and
wearing the Rydell shoes.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, and then by the time Tony comes in the league, the gray shorts that were longer but tight were in. You know?
Yeah.
And I looked good in tights back then.
I've never really looked good in tights.
But when I put on some of those old things now, I don't look as good.
Do you know
there's a lot of fabric in the back end that's kind of just loose? You know, I used to have something back there.
All that anybody heard out of that last sentence was, I look good in tights.
I used to look good in tights.
Just saying.
I never look good in tights.
I noticed that.
I looked like one of those sausages you just ate in tights.
Oh, it's really good, too.
Was good.
Thanks for bringing it up.
No problem.
Hey, you know, we sat on the airplane on the way over next to Mike Hightower from Florida.
Yeah,
Great guy. Known him for years. And he showed us his schedule. And he was, of course, part of the business contingent.
With the Chamber of Commerce.
That came over with the Chamber.
Daniel Davis, the new president of the Chamber, kind of was leading a contingent.
And Bill Guliford,
yep.
The city council president, was there. And a number of prominent business leaders and politicians that made the trip over with us. And, Logs, I don't know whether you got a chance, because you were sitting a little further back, to see. But almost every hour, you know, waking hour, was filled with a meeting for someone about something.
As it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great opportunity. You know, and when the announcement was first made, and I'll never forget, because it was Roger Goodell, Shad Khan, the mayor, and the city council president that all got up in front of the cameras and said, and Shad, I think, was the one who I think spoke the most eloquently on it, said, hey, this is a great opportunity to sell Jacksonville to the world. And I give him credit. And it's not because my paycheck, you know, comes through Shad Khan.
Right.
It has nothing to do with that, contrary to what a lot of people on the radio may say. But he is leading the charge over here. I mean, he's the one that's helping make all this happen. And I think he's opened the eyes up to the city and the city leaders. What a great opportunity this is above and beyond football. And I give him a lot of credit.
Well, it's the Jacksonville brand that he is taking, and he's bringing it with him. So there are people who are sitting back in Jacksonville. Now, I've gotten tweets and texts from a lot of folks. The game should be in Jacksonville. If they're really going to play the Cowboys game over there next year, the best game should stay in Jacksonville. And they're missing the greater good. Khan is coming in, and he's saying, hey, look, it's a smaller market. I understand that. But the best way to grow it for the health of my franchise is to grow the business side so that there are people with better jobs making more money, and then they buy tickets
to
my football team.
It's twofold. One, yes, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
The other way you grow the brand is you win.
We got hand in hand. You got to do both.
You do both. I'm saying, and that's what.
Well, and you hope you can do both at the same time while you're over here.
You're growing at the same time.
The hope is 4 years from now, you come over here, and I was talking to one of the fans. Jeff and I did a fan rally at the Nike Town.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. A bunch of fans. It was myself, Jeff, Fred Taylor,
Guy McIntyre,
and Bryant Young from the San Francisco 49ers. Great event. And there was fans of every persuasion of
teams. Tom Brady jerseys, Jaguar jerseys,
I did something for the first time ever. I signed a Tom Brady jersey. I said, I don't play for the Patriots, never have, and I don't really like him. She goes, I don't care. It's not my jersey. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
But anyways, I was talking to one of the Jag fans who had a Jag jersey on, and he was saying, you know, that's pretty rough right now, 0-7 being, you know, Jag fan. I said, but here's the deal. I said, over the next 4 years and we're coming back here and this team is fighting for a Super Bowl and playing for championships, you could say you were one of the first Jag fans in London. And that's the hope, that over the 4 years – you're building the brand on the business side, and Mark Lamping and Shad are leading the charge on that and doing that with the leaders in the city. Dave Caldwell and Gus, on the other hand, are building a championship football team. So you wake up 3-4 years down the road, and you're playing in London, and now it's not, oh, the Jaguars, they're bringing the Cowboys, so at least the Cowboys are coming. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars game is in London. They're one of the best teams in the NFL. We can't wait to go support that team.
What are the biggest cities in the world? I mean, because when you go, like at our hotel, the Motel 8. We've got a clock for
London,
Tokyo, New York City.
Right.
Right? So here we are bringing Jacksonville to one of these three big markets.
Let's take it another step.
Let me add one more thing here, because the other beautiful thing about this week is that we got an 0-7 football team.
Yeah.
Are we focusing in on that?
That's a great point.
No.
No one's talking about
it. No, nobody's talking about 0-7.
Yeah.
Nobody. You know, I mean, we're talking about, you know, the international branding of a football team, and we're talking about an 0-7.
That's a great point.
I mean, you kind of forgot about that. I mean, that's been kind of nice, to be honest with you.
You know, and the part about London that makes such sense is this is the historical capital of the world. I mean, the rest of the world used to come through London. It was where, you know, all of the arts and all of the business and all of the commerce. Now, we're going back thousands of years, right? But if you go into London, what do you see? You see people from all over the world. There is a huge presence internationally here from almost every corner of the globe.
Well, it's like New York City.
Well, but I think it's even bigger than New York City.
Well, it has more people than New York City.
Right.
It's obviously got a lot more history.
Well,
right, but I mean,
but
it's similar.
But, But I mean, it's an interchange of the entire world. And from that perspective, you are bringing Jacksonville and the Jaguars into the spotlight of the cultural center of the world.
Well, here's the question, and we talked about this at the very end of the first segment. Can a team exist here full-time? And I'm not sure it's ready yet.
No.
I would not be shocked somewhere down the road, when I say down the road 10, 15 years.
Well, when you say it, do you mean the league, right?
The league. I don't know if London's ready to have a team.
You got to find that out.
And I don't know if the league is ready for the logistics of having a team over here. There's a lot of things going into it. The question we talked about on the walk over here was, what would it be like if they played 8 games here? Or 10 games, because you have 2 preseason games. How many people are going to fill Wembley Stadium? You got to remember, right now, this is an event. It's almost like a Super Bowl with all the parties and the excitement. If you played every year and you are an average to below average team, how many people are going to Wembley?
Well, you know, my belief is that the league should try to put a game here a month to gauge that. Right?
But that still doesn't
September,
do it,
October, November, December.
Well, they're going to have what?
Well, they're going to have 3.
Possibly, three?
Well, 3 next year.
3 next year.
Right? But why not go 4, and that way you have the league focused on your schedule, the people here seeing your schedule and focused on it, you know, 1 game a month.
I don't think I think that will give you a better gauge. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, gauge.
But I don't think you know
whether they can do it or not
until you have a team that's played 12. I mean, because what I was reading somewhere, and this was a couple years ago, so maybe it's changed, but I think the average premier soccer game here draws 35 to 40,000 fans. Now, obviously, Man U and some of these bigger stadiums are
Chelsea,
Arsenal. Chelsea, or but I mean, just I'm talking. You have to look at the entire breadth of the teams, and so now you're going to bring a foreign sport, because this is not their sport. They're growing to love it, and you're going to bring it here. I think the newness would go off the charts. I mean, people being excited about having a team, but then what happens? You're 3, 4, 5, 6. You're struggling as a franchise. You're not winning. I mean, do people still support it? And that's a big question. I mean, you look at...
It could be like L.A.
You look back
in the day.
But Jeff, that's a great point. And you look at NFL cities right now. I mean, it's not like
there are empty seats in every stadium in the NFL.
I mean, you go look at the Giants in New York, and you look at other places, and they're saying... And so that's an interesting thing. That and the logistics of travel. It's a real issue.
Well,
it's a haul.
You know, Logs, you used to talk about when the schedule came out when you were with New York, you looked to see when you were going to Miami. How do you think the other teams in the division, let's just say that the Jaguars would be over here, right, just for argument's sake. How do the other teams in the AFC South say, oh, I don't want to go over there once a year? How do the other owners react? How much support do you have for the international side of this game if it's your division?
The league would have to help with travel.
If it's your division, how do you think about it?
Well, good and bad. I mean, good in that it's something different. Bad in that it's something different.
It's a major haul.
You'd almost have to have like the Buffalo Bills come over here, because all the teams I'm trying to think through, but pretty much East Coast on the East Coast teams
in Miami.
It's
New
a
York.
Easier. I mean, it's there. I mean, Houston to
that's
London.
A haul.
That's a haul. I mean, that's not the. I mean, Indy to London. Not the, so. I think it's going to happen. I really do, sooner or later, but I think it's down the road.
All right, much more to come. But first, let's break for news here on News Talk 690. WOKV, now on 104.5 AM, or FM. I got that right, Mike?
Yeah,
I don't have it written on the board
FM.
In front of me.
Yeah, that's it.
Let me see if I can do this again. News on WOKV, now on AM 690 and 104.5 FM. It's on both. See you after the news.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Welcome back to Jaguars Thursday, live from London. Well, not live. We're doing it live now. It's actually...
I'm alive.
What is it?
I'm live.
It's 4:11 Eastern time, so everyone listening is probably asleep when we got started.
You're a recording. You're not real.
I know.
I'm real.
Right.
I'm live.
Yeah,
I still haven't got my schedule adjusted yet. I mean, I'm still like trying to go to bed at like 3.
Yeah. Yeah, it was tough to get up this morning. I won't lie to you.
I didn't want to get out of bed.
It was 2:30 this morning when I'm thinking, you know, boy... You ought to go to bed because you got to get up.
You know,
in a
I'm thinking
hours.
This morning when I'm having a hard time because last night I'm trying to get to bed, and I set my alarm. You know, on our phones now, of course, that's our alarm clock.
Yeah, because there's no clocks in our hotel.
I've got no, we don't have any clocks. TV doesn't work. And on my phone, you know, you can set three.
It's
alarms.
A point of contention, folks. If you can't pick that up,
you can set 3 alarms on my phone.
And you said all 3?
Trust me, it took me all 3 of them this morning.
Well, you know, we should point out the fact, and this is interesting. we all had to call and switch our phones over to an international plan. But it's 99 cents a minute to talk on your phone and a text. And you bought your text with Verizon. It's a 50 cents. It's 50 cents to send a text, 5 cents to receive. And data plans are really expensive. And so you don't see us on our phones like we are at home. And I know Buscelli's
for
count
the Wi-Fi.
Text. Buscelli's count text.
Which will be a really good thing for the broadcast because Buscelli won't be on his phone.
Texting.
What are you talking about?
Well, you're, but it is
I
interesting.
Focus, Joe, don't I?
It is really interesting to see how many people have their phone in their pocket and not out and working it because it is a different experience over here. You have to be much more calculating with your time.
Yeah, you got
to
find the Wi-Fi.
When you're a visitor over here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's expensive.
But there's Wi-Fi everywhere over here for the most part.
Free Wi-Fi for all is what it says when it pops up on your phone.
It's very nice and... And we, I think all
socialism
of the,
working for
all
you.
The traveling party gets, I think, $100 credits to their phones. I think you know, so that we can kind of offset the expense.
Oh, we do.
We got here.
We got $100 credit.
I think so. I think so.
All I wanted is some breakfast and lunch and dinner. I'd have been happy with that.
But you know, the deal that the Jaguars made with the league about coming over here was different than any other team in the past. And Shad Khan was the one who said, hey, look, if we're going to commit to 4 years, there's some concessions that we got to have.
Right.
And I don't know all the particulars, but I know that there's a full-time person over here working on some sponsorship deal.
Laura Oaks. Works for the Jaguars.
Great lady. And she hosted me when I came over for the draft and this week and everything else. She's an outstanding at selling and doing that. And she actually comes back and forth from Jacksonville, London, and works closely with Scott Massey, who's over sponsorships, and Hussein Naki, who's kind of game day. I mean, they all work together of putting this whole thing together.
But I don't know the details of how that works with the league, but I do know that the Jaguars took more risk, took on more responsibility, but the potential of
they get more revenue too.
Benefiting down the road financially is higher.
Well, let me lay it out in very basic terms for people so they understand why this makes sense. Essentially, the Jaguars will make, by the time this is done, when they do it right, they will make double the gate of a normal home game.
And that's just gate.
That's just the gate, right? So let's say that number is $5 million. And if the Jaguars double it and make 10, that's the revenue stream now of another home game without having to actually put it on. Now, just so people understand, that's money that fills in the sponsorship donut hole. You know, where the Jaguars don't have the sponsorship base in Jacksonville to make huge amounts of money. They can't charge $11 million for their naming rights like they do in Houston, but they're able to make up the gap by playing a game.
Well, but not only that, they also, I mean, Laura Oaks, one of her jobs is to sell sponsorships over.
Yeah.
And there's an arrangement, as Jeff was talking about, I don't know the exact split between what the Jaguars get to keep and the league gets to keep, but they're the first team. All the other sponsorships over here are league-driven. The Jaguars get to sell sponsorships, and it grows because now they can cross-sell
right.
for companies that maybe are international that want to get into Jacksonville or are doing business in Jacksonville or vice versa.
And Fulham will factor into this at some
Absolutely.
Point, I'm sure. But
listen, the bottom line is Shad Khan is a brilliant businessman
right.
who's figured this thing out, and it's good for all of us that we're having a game here.
Well, that's the bottom line is what it does is it strengthens the NFL in Jacksonville.
Absolutely.
Where the perception, Jeff, is that by the Jaguars playing in London, it puts it at risk.
I think it's just the opposite.
It's exactly the opposite. It strengthens it. It doesn't make it risky.
Well, and I think that's what I give Shad Khan the most credit for, is that he could see that long term, whereas a lot of people, I think, had the short-term vision and had the initial panic. Oh, my gosh, our football team is moving to London. Oh, no. They're going to play a game in London, maybe two eventually. You know, who knows?
Do you know, I had this conversation with Rich Jones from Jacksonville's Morning News on the bus ride from the stadium to the airport in Jacksonville. And his question was real simple. It was, does Wayne Weaver get enough credit for finding Shad Khan to be the owner in Jacksonville? Because Wayne always said he wasn't just going to sell. He wanted to find the right person. Well, clearly he found the right guy. I mean, he found the guy who would not only buy the football team, but embrace the marketplace. Because you know a lot of people said that once that team sold, it was out of there. No one else was going to come in and make the investment and stay long-term.
Well, we know for a fact that there were many people that made that phone call to Wayne Weaver that had that plan in mind.
Absolutely.
And Wayne Weaver turned those phone calls down.
Yep.
When he saw
Wayne was always true to his word on
the
that.
L.A. area code.
Yeah.
He refused to answer. We know that for a fact.
So as we sit here and we talk about London and we celebrate being here this week, just, you know, a shout out to Mr. Weaver for bringing Mr. Khan into the fold and making this happen, because I don't think the franchise could be any healthier right now than it, I mean, obviously on the field they can, but than it is because he's restocked the front office with talent, and he has put Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley in place, and he has put, you know, business leaders and political leaders over here. He's really doing a lot of good for the franchise.
Well, and who knew
and
that,
the marketplace.
And who knew that, that Shad Khan, you know, probably had a greater vision than what, you know, he led on to back at that press conference, because now all of a sudden he owns the Fulham Soccer Club.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe his synergy vision long term is much greater than we believe. You know, we don't know.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
I guarantee you we don't know.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Our simple, small brains cannot grasp.
Well, speak for yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The man went to UVA.
Yeah. I went to UVA.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Let's get that straight.
Basket weaving at UVA and graduate. Not long,
and I do hope that this ends up being a highly productive week for the city as a whole. You know, with the city, you know, the economic development people here, the mayor here. Glad to see that the mayor did get a passport and make it over here.
You want to explain the story for everyone to know?
Well, he couldn't find his passport, lost his passport. But I just know that, I mean, when we knew we were coming over here back in, what, March?
Yeah.
Was that when the announcement was made?
No, the announcement was made last fall, like last November.
A year and a half.
Yeah.
And so when we figured that out, I mean, we all said, you got your passport?
Yeah.
You got your passport? You got your passport?
Right.
Yeah. And the mayor was a little slow, but he got here.
Little political shot.
No, it's not a little political shot.
It's just very political, Jeff.
Me? No, I'm the least political person in this room. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, no, the man across the street right there, that's the political guy.
You and Brian are
head
of the class there.
Yeah, we ride a little bit more. But the marketplace, just a couple of thoughts on this. You know, as we were driving into Nike Town the other night, the every bus that we have has a tour guide, essentially. I mean, a mother hen who's kind of there to make sure everybody gets where they need to be. And she pointed out Twickenham Stadium, you know, and she said, this is our biggest rugby stadium. She goes, it's not quite as big a sport as soccer, but it's really big. And then you talk to people, yeah, people like rugby. They're neighborhood rugby teams, and they go. And then you've got how many different teams in the city, soccer teams? I mean,
the Premier League, English Premier, I don't know what it is.
Twickenham is the name of that stadium, by the way. But you've got cricket here. You mentioned you don't have football. In order to break through and get people to pay attention, what do you have to do in this game?
Well, the NFL is doing it. I mean, the NFL is an event over here. I mean, it is huge. I mean, you look at the list of a lot of people compare it to the Super Bowl with all the parties and celebrity status and people going on.
Really, just to speak to the parties, there's on Saturday, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Trafalgar Square.
Right.
On Saturday.
Fan Fest.
It's a fan fest that me and Tony will be at. And there's
Joe Montana will be there.
I mean, Joe Montana.
Commissioner.
They're talking like.
And me.
40,000 plus people at this event. I mean, 40,000 people?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, when the Minnesota Vikings played the Pittsburgh Steelers over here, what do they have, 60? They had 60,000 people at an event for that, but they say that this Trafalgar.
The Battle of Trafalgar.
I believe that Trafalgar is the famous Rolling Stones concert in the square. Huge. I mean, if you look at old pictures, Joe will know, 70s or 80s, it's like 100,000 people concert. It just people in the stage in the middle of the square.
So do I have to be the person that talks about, you know, Admiral Lord Nelson, and you're talking about Mick Jagger?
I mean, it was much like Woodstock in the United States in Trafalgar Square.
A little different class of people, though, from Woodstock.
I don't know. I saw some of the pictures. I think it's about the same. I think it's about the same group, Jeff. They were hanging out together.
They are. It is all out. There are big parties. There's a lot of attention span over here.
And give Roger Goodell a lot of credit, because this is his vision. He is the one who's pushed this and wanting to make this happen, and they've done it the right way. They're not doing it on the cheap. They are making sure this is an event. And that is great, but that's what worries me long term, because you can't reproduce an event every week in the NFL. The game itself and the game experience has to hold the crowd. Right now, this is an event. It's a lot of fun, and the people in London love it. And people from the entire U.K., not just London, but all of the U.K. and Europe, German people, people from Germany, everywhere else, come and watch this game. So I'm looking forward. It'll be a lot of fun, and it's a great week for Jacksonville with everyone over here.
And we got to see, by going back to my point, right? 0-7 football team?
Right.
We haven't talked
about the game yet?
No. Do you want to do that when we come back?
Yes.
When we come back on Jaguars Thursday, we'll touch on the reason why we're here. A Sun Little football game against the 49ers. Back after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Back for one final segment of Jaguars Thursday from London. Sexton Buscelli, Lagerman, Fortunato, our entire crew, Kushner's here, and we're getting ready for Jaguars Niners on Sunday at Wembley Stadium, by the way, which is a magnificent facility.
It is, and the stadium itself, the average ticket price obviously is huge. The seating capacity is huge.
Was it 88?
Almost 90,000. Yeah. Plus you add in the fact that Wembley underwent somewhat of a renovation in recent past to where the luxury boxes are high-end. I mean, there's a lot of gate revenue here in London.
But we're sitting in the stands calling the game.
Really?
Basically.
Yeah. We're sitting. I'd like to stand, but I'm not going to be able to. Evidently, a Bobby comes by and says you need to sit down. Because we are literally.
What?
Bobby.
A Bobby.
What is a Bobby?
Why don't you explain to everyone what a Bobby is?
Well, I think a lot of people probably know.
I doubt it.
You've been here before. You hadn't heard it?
I know.
Well, I could have figured it out.
I know some Bobbies, but...
Yeah. Right.
No, okay. Not the kind of Bobby you're talking about.
Brian was explaining to me is there's basically they're going to put four tables out, and we're going to sit in the stands, I hope underneath something so we're not getting wet.
You talking about Bobby Joe?
No, I'm not.
And we'll call the game out in the crowd. That'll be fun.
That would be Petticoat Junction. That you're referring to, right?
All right, let's get back to the game.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So the Niners, where are they? They're nowhere around here, are they?
No.
Not sure.
They're at
Grosvenor
Park.
Where's that?
No idea.
All right.
Further away from London than we are.
The one thing that I have heard you guys say over and over, having watched the tape, is how physical a football team they are.
They're tough on both sides of the ball. Their two lines of scrimmage, they get after you, and they punch you right in the mouth, and they... Offensively, I mean, they are an old-fashioned. In a league that is built on the quarterback throwing the ball, they do it like the old 70s and 80s where they get in two tights, 22 personnel, which is two backs, two tight ends, and just run it down your throat.
Bring the safeties to the line of scrimmage and then send it.
Well, they keep on going.
They also sometimes, instead of two tight ends, it'll be two tight ends and then also a lineman. Who
I don't
is
even know what that
Daniel Kilgore, number 67.
I guess that would be 23 personnel.
I don't even know what you'd call that because they put him in the game as a fullback, and then they play heavy personnel, so most teams are like, all right, they're going to play smash mouth.
And they'll throw out of it.
And all of a sudden, there's Vernon Davis running down the field for a 60-yard bomb.
And that's the key. The reason they can do it is Vernon Davis. So you watch them, and they want to run the ball. They want to get Frank Gore going, and I think it goes back to the game they lost it against Indianapolis. That game in the first drive, they rammed it down Indy's throat. They drove and scored a touchdown. And for whatever reason, they got away from the run and tried to win the game throwing the ball. They lost the Indianapolis Colts. Then all the fight between Frank Gore and Jim Harbaugh. At it. He says, run the ball. And from that time, they have run the ball. And they are run first, pass second. They get after you, but they'll pass out of that heavy personnel. And because they have a tight end who runs a 4.440 and can beat
with a bad hamstring,
who can beat anyone down the field. I mean, he is a one-on-one nightmare.
The last two games that I've watched, he's had one-on-one opportunities against DBs. I'm not talking about slow safeties now.
He ran right by him.
I'm talking about fast cornerbacks to where he's run right by him, and you can tell that he's not full speed. That's how fast that this guy is.
But they're going to line up and punch you in the mouth. And then defensively, they get, you know, the 3-4. 4-3 hybrid, but mainly they're base 3-4.
Mostly 3-4.
Base 3-4 personnel, and they just flat just say.
And they're not as good on the defensive front as they used to be as far as being real physical. I mean, remember when they had Sopawaga, Justin Smith was playing better than he is now, even though he's still playing well.
But Ray McDonald's pretty dang good.
And Ray McDonald is still a very good player. But losing Sopawaga, the one guy, though, that they've added defensively that has really surprised me was Glenn Dorsey, because when we watched him in Kansas City as a defensive end, he looked short. He looked like he wasn't long enough to be able to play. Well, the 49ers pick him up and put him in at nose tackle, and he is playing very, very well.
And another guy to watch, you know, they lost
Alden Smith
out, but Corey Lemonier. It's Lemonnier.
Lemonnier? Oh, is that pronunciation?
Yeah, Lemonnier. Okay. It looks like Lemonnier, too. That's why I looked over here. It's Lemonnier. We got the flip cards. Lemonnier, a rookie out of Auburn.
Good player.
Third rounder. He doesn't look like a rookie. He doesn't play like a rookie.
He's going to be really good.
And he's not Alden Smith at this point, but he's physical, and he comes hard, and he runs a very good stunt game TEs, ETs, the twist games with Justin Smith, and puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback.
Let's go back to the offensive side, because I know a lot of people who are listening are wondering, how did the Jaguars play Colin Kaepernick?
Hit him as hard as you can.
You know, because it's not like the 49ers, I mean, they run that pistol look where they do the read option with him, and he's probably faster game speed-wise, maybe faster than any quarterback in the league.
I agree.
We agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
With you know, and that's even compared to a healthy RG3. Right? I mean, I'm talking flat-out speed.
Well, last year, RG3, I think, was faster. You know, you're right. RG3 was quicker.
Quicker.
But straight-line speed.
Colin Kaepernick. And his strides are covering 3.5 yards.
He looks like a sprinter out there.
Oh, so that's hard to contend with. And so the hard part with them is that, do you try to scheme to stop Kaepernick, or do you try to scheme and stop Frank Gore? I mean, you can't do both.
Pick.
You can't do both. It's going to be hard on the Jaguars. And in last week's game, and if last week is any indication, it could be a very tough game for the Jaguars. The Chargers lost two offensive linemen last week in that game, and the Jaguars' defensive front couldn't do anything against them. We're talking about an offensive line that's probably the best in football with three first-round picks
running. They're not the best pass-blocking offensive line. And they're good at that, but they are the best run-blocking offensive line. And Jeff brings up a great point. We were getting road-graded a little bit by an offensive line that was beat up with probably three backups at the end of the day because of their starting.
Because three guys out of position.
Three guys out of position, and they move the ball. This group of five guys are going to get on you, and they're going to road grade you, and then they do some things with the misdirection, with the zone read option, and they run this like kind of zone power option where they're flashing a guy at the defensive end, and he doesn't know if he's going to get kicked out or they're going to run by him. I mean, they put a lot of pressure on the front seven of a defense. And you look at Tennessee, who lost. Tennessee basically said, we're going to put eight in the box, not play single high, and man up everywhere outside. And they still struggled to stop the run. And so it's going to be.
And they hammered the Titans now.
It's going to be a huge.
They hammered them.
It's going to be a huge test. And you saw the Titans just said, we're going to try to. We'll let you pass the ball if you want to, because we're going to play man. The 49ers said, no, we'll still run it right down your throat.
And they stuck with it now. They kept giving it to Frank Gore, and all of a sudden, boom, there goes Frank Gore for 20. There goes Frank Gore for 30.
Then they pull it out, and then
there goes
Kaepernick.
You know, there was one play against the Tennessee Titans. It was a 2nd and 18. You know, and during that heavy personnel, Kaepernick drops back to pass, and all of a sudden the Titans are playing man coverage. Kaepernick sees it, tucks it, runs it, gains 17. So, I mean, all of a sudden you're feeling good, much like the Jaguars have had happen this year on a 2nd and long. All of a sudden, Kaepernick gaze it, makes it a 3rd and 1. You know, I mean, that's going to be a lot of stress for this football team.
So, I mean, we know what the situation is with the Jaguars talent-wise. If they go out and they play well and they're prepared and all of that stuff, can they pull another Denver out of their hat where they keep it close? Or are the Niners so good at where the Jaguars are not good that the running game here could be the big difference out of the game?
My biggest concern is that the defensively for the Jaguars, the biggest area that they have struggled is stopping the run.
Yep.
And that's probably the calling card of the San Francisco 49ers is their running game. You know, so it is not an easy matchup for the Jaguars. But, you know, hey, look, we all know what it is. This team needs talent. They need better players to be able to compete week in and week out. But you want to see what you saw in Denver. You don't want to see what you saw against the San Diego Chargers. You know, and we haven't even talked much about Tony had mentioned Justin Smith, and Justin Smith is a fantastic player. He's still probably one of the most disruptive defensive players in the league. He's a defensive end. They got him in free agency from the Cincinnati Bengals. And I don't know how he changed his workout regime from the time that he was with the Bengals to where he is now with the 49ers. But the guy has turned into an absolute beast. Strong? Holy cow. I was talking to a couple of the guys with the 49ers about 2 or 3 years ago. And look, me and Tony used to work out with heavyweights,
right?
You know, back in the day. We don't do it anymore.
For a long time.
And you go to the dumbbell section. You know, the dumbbells, they start at 5 pounds for Joe Fortunato, and they end up at 140 pounds, you know, for what me and Tony did back in the day. Justin Smith, Isaac Sopawag, who they had back in the day, and Ray McDonald. Now it's just Ray McDonald and Justin Smith. Those guys start at the other end. Which, you know, most dumbbells stop at 150 pounds. Justin Smith is working out with 200-pound dumbbells. I'm talking 200 pounds each. That's how strong he is.
Yeah, he's strong.
Kemp Bradfield, hang on, buddy.
Yeah.
Put some center blocks in your shorts.
Big,
you're going to need
man.
It.
All right. So Sunday, it's a 5 o'clock kickoff local time. So we're all going to have to kind of adjust it. But it's a 1 o'clock kick for those of you back home, which means that the Publix tailgate show will start at 10 a.m. And then we'll pick up the rest of the network at noon. And then, of course, kickoff and whistle-to-whistle coverage. It's historic. Right.
Well, and it should be a great pregame because there's so many different people here in London. A pregame show should be very exciting with all the different guests that we should have.
All right. Linda and Ed and the entire crew back there taking care of us tonight. Thanks so much for working with us. And we appreciate you joining us. Jaguars and Niners, the first of four games in London begins this week. It's been a great trip so far. Hope it continues. Have a great night, everybody.